At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes and the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is the voice I found. For those who lost their voice, I sing it loud. I keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place. It's a call to every soul who wants to be free. A song for-
This meeting is being recorded.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White. I am your host of Keeping It Real on Purpose. This is the place where real people talk about real things, real stories, all on real time, on purpose. And today our guest is Elise Burtham. I hope I got it right. And she is an author, a ghostwriter, and she's also a memoir coach. Welcome to Keeping It Real on Purpose.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're very welcome. So how do you show up in the world?
Let's see. I show up in the world shooting from the hip and keeping it real. Mm-hmm. I like to pride myself on something that people have told me a lot, which is that how they read me online is how I also come across in person. So if I'm cussing online, I'm cussing in reality. If I'm cracking jokes and using sarcasm and wit in my writing, then I'm also doing that when I'm conversing with other people. So I really try to be as authentic as possible. I don't want anybody to feel like they're getting me one way, one place, and a different way in another place.
Okay. All right. So so tell us a story around, you know, how you got started as a ghostwriter. I really would like to hear that part of it.
Sure. So I've been writing my whole life. I knew at 5 that I wanted to write books. And then flash forward several years and lots of different winding roads later, I went out on my own in my business as a copywriter and content writer. And developed a really close relationship with one of my clients, got to know her voice, her brand, her messaging. And she said to me in 2020, hey, do you want to write my first business book? I feel like it's time for me to write my first business book. And I was like, yes, please. And it just so happened that I was also working on my first book at the time. And so it was like this kind of organic evolution of kind of moving from her long form content into a book. It felt easy. It felt aligned and intentional because I already knew what I needed to know to do it well. And when we got done the book, I was like, I'm never turning back. Like I love doing this. I would rather be writing and ghosting books than other people's kind of marketing copy and marketing content. So that was it. That was the moment.
Oh, that's great. That's really good stuff. I love how you said that you started it and it just felt right. And I think a lot of people need to hear that in the audience, that doing something that feels right, you need to keep going towards that. because that'll open up other opportunities to do what you love to do. And it also creates that you're authentic, like you said, and you only wear one hat, and that one hat is the same way every day, like you said. So that's really, really important. And I really want to get that to the audience, because a lot of my audience, and of course, I, you know, clients, and I know you probably have some that really do not get that. Like, do what you love, freak everything, freak it all, you know, do what you love, you know, freak everything. I was at a meeting today, a networking meeting. And so I guess he's a marketer or something, you know, he's a coach himself. So he says to all of us, you know, all of us don't have enough time in the day. Raise your hand. And I looked at him and said, no, I've never had that problem. And so he's like, no, you're doing so much. I said, this is what's different about me. When I started, I ran two real estate offices. They were my offices. My bird died. This is how many hours I was doing. My bird died. My son went from 14 to 16, and I didn't know it. Okay. Didn't realize it. And my husband left me. So, okay. I was doing all of that. Not to say that was the only reason, but you know what I mean? Like, we pay so much attention to work. It's overrated. And what was so funny is I was making 10 grand my own a month. So, you know, and then I had 15 agents doing everything. Come on. I was doing a little bit too much. You know what I mean? I was doing it just too much. You know, and we don't live in our authentic selves when we're doing too much. You know, and I like what you said. You want to show who you are at all times. Whether you're writing it, it's who you are. It's who you are. And you know, and that's the way to get really into authenticity, which brings us to bravery, right?
Bravery, right?
So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I'd love you to open it up and talk about your rendition of what bravery really is and what it takes.
So I've been playing around with an acronym recently on just the word brave by itself. And so I'm playing around with, like, it's the bold, audacious, bold, resilient, audacious, vulnerable, empowered person. Uh-huh. Like, because I don't think it's just one thing. I think people mistake bravery with maybe courage or just like standing up for what's right or in the face of adversity. But like, what does it take to actually do either of those things? Right. It's not just like blanket, like, oh yeah, we brave. Like, no, like you have to be bold to take action. You have to be resilient in order to face whatever is going to result from said action, right? Yeah. You have to be aligned in your action, like aligned with your values or your belief system or your worldview. You have to be vulnerable because you don't know how this is going to impact the people around you or yourself. And you have to feel empowered enough to still do it, right?
Exactly. Like
whatever it is. And I think that bravery is also in the small things. You know, I don't think it's just for the big life adversity and spitting in the face of like big danger or confrontation. Sometimes bravery is like, I'm going to wear that pair of pants that 10 years ago, I wouldn't have been caught dead in, you know, but I've always really loved on somebody else. And today I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to care if my butt's too big or my hips are too wide or the shade isn't great with my skin tone or whatever the F, you know, is going through our head. So I think bravery can be a part of our small challenges, our small daily challenges as much as our big ones.
Absolutely. And I concur with what you said about the big things. And bravery in the face, like you said, and I love that you said spit in the face of. sometimes we have to make people uncomfortable in those situations. We talk about, you know, sit-ins and things like that and changing, you know, let's take the word racism. Let's take racism, you know, and how we have to create allies. You know, information changes people. Information and them being wanting to be vulnerable, one of the letters, wanting to be vulnerable and really being able to say, hey, I am open to understand this. And let's have a conversation around it, you know, because the big things, like I'm taking the brave part of the big things first, right? So if we do that in the face of big things, so for women, what would you say the big things were? You know, what would you say for women to the big things, to literally spit in the face of adversity?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Big things. So, you know, protesting for our rights to our bodies, right?
Right.
Big things. You know, leaving unhealthy, unhappy, abusive, toxic relationships. I mean, honestly, yes. People in general should be doing that, whether they're women, men, or identify as something else. But that would be another big thing. You know, figuring out how to love our bodies, regardless of size. Like, let's do that. let's figure that out. That would be amazing. You know, being parents without comparing ourselves to other parents. I feel like that's a big one, and I'm a mom, I have a 7-year-old, so mm-hmm. that one hits me hard every day. Like, am I being authentic as a mom, or am I looking at the moms around me thinking that I gotta do it differently? So those are some of the big things that come to mind the most immediately. Now, if not from a women's perspective but a global perspective, we already touched on racism. But also just like, you know, for me, it's standing up against bigotry and homophobia and, mm-hmm. You know, the other things that are a part of our oppressive systems that are marginalizing and silencing people. Like, we have got to be brave in the face of that, or our global community suffers. It is suffering, right? We see that every day. So yeah, there's lots of places to show up bravely in all the big ways.
Yeah. And don't you think that when you show up in these big ways, that at first it has to be a small way with you? So it may be big, you know, like say, you know, you were taught, I had a friend of mine and I didn't know that she was, you know, had these things going on. She says, I always complied with the white man next door. I'm white, you know, and I'm in school, so I always was like scared for my child to hear this or that. So I kind of created this persona. You know, I ain't gonna say anything. You know, I know it's wrong, but I'm not gonna say anything. I'm just gonna keep quiet. And so when George Floyd, the backlash came, you know, to all rippled across America, she came to me and she says, Edna, I need to be an ally. And I know you're going to say to me, she says, I'm not. She goes, but I need to do something. I need to change. Yes, I did stuff wrong. And yes, I followed the line with the other people, you know, the people. I followed it because I was scared and I was taught this and I was scared. And she said to me, I need to do something. I said, well, we're having a rally somewhere. And she said, I'll be there. And she was there. Even those are big steps within yourself. When you do those things for yourself and being brave enough, she was brave. I didn't even know. I'm going to tell you, I didn't know because I don't talk, you know, I don't normally go around like, oh, you're a bigot or anything. Like, I don't do that. I just do myself. Hey, you know, it is what you think is what you think. I can't do anything about that. But when she came to me and said that, I was like, you were like that? She goes, yeah, I was the worst one. I was the closet one. And I was like, no way. And I just kept saying, no way. She goes, it wasn't because I wanted to. I was scared and what I thought or what I was taught scared me, you know, and it's like, I have kids and I, you know, all of this stuff. She said, but I'm hurting the global community. Like you said, my, you know, I might, my kids might grow up and they might like somebody of another color or race. What am I going to do with that? And that was so impressive to me. I said, wow, I never heard anybody say, she was like, she was really like, you could feel it in her voice is cracking and everything. She's, I know my kids are loving and I teach them to be loving. And I gotta be able to heal the global community and do my part. Yeah. So when you talk about global community, doing your part is so important, being that brave to, and I love that what you said, I really do, Elisa. It like, you know, it chimed with me and you were really authentic with that, is doing your global, your part for global community, because it matters. It matters in, as an ally. Yeah, so let's switch gears now. We're going to go to bravery in your personal development. And then we'll go talk about, you know, being brave as, you know, as a, you know, a writer, you know, because you're going to do work with, right? You do work with authors and writers. So let's shift gears about personal. What's the personal development? What's the bravery in that?
Well, I mean, quite frankly, I think that facing yourself is probably one of the scariest things that we can do. If we're being honest, right? That's the key. If you're willing to face yourself and be like, oh man, I got some shit that's real messed up. You have to, like, that's the only way it's going to work, right? So I feel like going to therapy, super brave. You know, letting it all come undone, right? Like letting somebody see you at your worst. And maybe that's not a therapist. Maybe that's a psychiatrist. Maybe that's a social worker. Maybe that's your chiropractor that you're falling apart on when you're going, getting adjusted. I don't know. But I feel like when you can take the layers off and almost like wiping the makeup off, right? Like you're wiping off whatever the facade is, the facade, the disguise, the mask, whatever word. And you're being like, you know what, at the end of the day, when the door is shut and nobody's looking at me, I will go 2 days before I wash my hair. You know, like being real, right? Or like, I'm not gonna lie, the PETA commercials, I cry every time, you know, like it's just, you have to know yourself. And I think that that's really scary for people because it's not just knowing those little quirks, right? Like how many days you go without washing your hair or what commercials make you tear up. But like, you know, do you know what puts you out of alignment? Do you know what triggers you? Do you know, you know, what things you are not showing up enough to do for yourself or for the people around you? Are you willing to have somebody say to you that you messed up, and can you put your ego aside enough? I'm right. You're right. I did mess up. How can I fix it? How can I adjust it? And that's not just in your interpersonal relationships, right? That's with your colleagues, your teammates, your friends, like your siblings, you know, it's, you know, how are you as a human, right? And then how can you develop to be the better version of a human? And that's going to push up against our culture, against our boundaries, against our nurture and nature, right? Like it's going to go against what we were taught. Then there's also just ways that we are genetically predispositioned to think and feel. And you know, otherwise we wouldn't have the Zodiac or human design or like all the things that we have now that we can learn about ourselves that there is there for us to tap into. Like, I think the bravest thing is just being you and figuring out who that is and what that means and then how it translates to the world outside of yourself.
Right. That's good. I love that. I love knowing yourself. I always talk about that because it took me till I was 45 to know what I was, know who I was like. And still, I was still learning, like learning and learning and learning. And now being so very authentic, I tell everybody like, you're a wealth of information. And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm just like telling it like it is. Now I'm telling it like it is. Just telling it like it is, you know, and I wouldn't trade being authentic for anything. not for, you know, nothing. I wouldn't. If it meant me dumbing myself down to meet a guy, I wouldn't do it. I'm sorry. Got to do without me.
That's what our 20s are for. Yeah. that's what our 20s in high school is for, is all that garbage.
Yeah, forget that. Yeah, not going back.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that we are we're constantly evolving, right? We're always a work in progress if we allow mm-hmm. ourselves to be. I feel like I feel the saddest for the people who are like, I'm good.
Yeah, fine. I'm fine. Like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm good, I love good, that.
You know, and they're not moving on to like dig deeper yeah. or to evolve in yeah. any way. Like to me, learning is growth, and growth is kind of the point. And yeah. we only get to journey here once, depending on what you believe. And so it's like, do it right. Do it the best way you can do it. Like, cause you're not going to get a redo. There is no rewind and replay and slow it down. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to mm-hmm. get to circle yourself on the screen with the arrows and show how you messed up the play so that you can, you're just not. So,
yeah. I'll put those filters on, filter that out. Cut that out.
So it's like, you know, just do it right and like dig in and like figure it out and don't be scared. Like, cause it's just life's too short. And I do feel like we have to figure it out for ourselves though. We have to figure out how to be authentic for ourselves. And sometimes that means going through a lot of crap and hardship and adversity and doing the thing where we're dumbing ourselves down or trying to fit into a box. I mean, mm-hmm. I did that on all kinds of ways for years. And there are still ways that I think I do that now, right? Because we can't be present yep. all the time with the way our brains work, but we can take a beat and take a pause and ask ourselves every now and then, am I showing up in the most authentic way that I can? Right. If I'm not, how can I be brave enough to do so?
Now, as you were talking about that, I had an instance where my authenticity bothered somebody else. How do you think?
That happens to me all the time.
How do you think, what would you do to deal with something like that?
I'd put on Taylor Swift and dance to Shake It Off. I'm not even like a Taylor Swift fan, but that one song... like that one song, just like you just want to like, you know, I will dance to that on the sidewalk out in the community and I don't care who's watching. But honestly, I do think that there's some truth there, which is like, I've learned over time that if somebody has a true problem with me because I'm too this or too that or not enough of, it's usually not about me.
Yeah.
It's usually not about me. It's about the other people having a problem with how confident I am, which is really a reflection of how unconfident they are.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I find that, and I had an instance like that today, and I was like, wait, what? Like, I was like, and then I had to think, mirror. Mirror. It's like, okay, the other side, because it's like a battery. One side's positive, one side's negative. So when they bump heads, they push against each other. Oh, mm-hmm. mirror time. I said, okay. Yeah. So
psychologists would call it projection.
Yeah. And I was like, so I'm like, okay, am I talking? It gets you to the point where, am I talking too much? You start going, okay, should I shut up? Mm-hmm. Should I not say anything? What's this all about? You know, you start going through the myriad of questions that are in your head, right? And then I said, wait a minute. Stop it right now. And I just proceeded the way to act, you know. And so once it was over, like it was just all of us talking, and it wasn't like I was over talking anybody because it was a question. So I guess I was wiser than the person thought. Like, I'm like, okay, how do you do that? You know, I'm like, I was answering that person's question because he asked a question. Why are you asking me? You're trying to put me on the spot. How do you do that? Let's talk after class. That's a whole nother, subject. And when he walked up to me, he says, I don't think you need any classes, but the one you probably need was the one in the back or something. Nice to have you. He didn't try to sell me at all. Like, I was like, okay. He just like brushed it off. I was like, okay. But when, like you said, when somebody's not comfortable, it's their stuff, not yours.
The other thing, though, is that you mentioned that it was a he or somebody who identified as he. So,
yes.
I mean, the thing that I find particularly interesting is in kind of our stereotypical gendered world, right? Like, we still have that push and pull of the masculine woman up against, you know, the man in the room, right? Like, and I and I'm putting things in quotes because I don't want to be quoted per se. I would want to write this differently, but right now I'm just talking off the cuff. But like, we have this idea that the bold, the opinionated, the loud, the willing to participate woman, the woman who has an answer, the woman who dares to respond, right? Has more of masculine energy and competes up against, you know, the dudes in the room. And then we emasculate the dudes in the room or whatever when we show up that way. And then it's all off-putting and like gross. Right. I mean, it's 2023. Can we please just all get over ourselves? Like, we all have the ability to be outspoken or loud if that's our natural tendency or that's way we've been raised. It just does not matter. But yet these kind of these gender stereotypes or gender tropes do still exist. Like, women still can intimidate men if they're comfortable and confident in what they're saying and what they're all about. And it's super off-putting. And I just say, well, screw you, dude. Like, sell yourself to somebody else. I don't want your programs. I don't need your crap. You're right. I don't need this. You're not it.
Exactly. And if you're acting like that, then what are you selling? Like, what are you selling? Like, if you're acting like that, what are you really selling? That's my point. And I like that we're talking about this bravery thing, because it takes a lot. And I didn't think about the male part. I didn't think about that at all, because I was like, what are you selling? Like, for real, like, seriously, it was like, I was very annoyed. Like, the way he just like was like putting me off, and I was like, I had to really sit back and say, okay, it's not about me. And I just, even when he was talking to me, I had to say, it's not about me. It's not about me. Because I had to keep saying it in my head, because, girl, now you know, audience, y'all know, Edna gets it in. I would have said, what is your problem with me today? We haven't seen each other since 2018. What's your problem with me today? Let's talk about this, because I want to leave out this room light, you know? And that was what was wrong with me when I first got on. I was like, what am I feeling? And I felt heavy, and I said, it was that. So I'm glad we're talking about this. Get it off my shoulders. But so thank you for saying all of that. See, you're here for me today. You gave me a whole counseling session. Thanks so much. Audience, you hear this? Alisa's giving counseling sessions now. Come on now. So what's going on?
True story. What? I have a background in psychology. And I studied for a year being a marriage and family therapist before I turned over.
Oh, Lord.
Before I went and got my master's of fine arts and abandoned counseling and therapy altogether as a profession. So I may have been tapping into some previous skills there for a moment, but if it helped, then I stand by it.
That's beautiful. Well, you got to tap into that when you're talking about working with memoirs. You got to tap into that. You know, when you're writing, and, you know, when you're with somebody that's like putting their story down, but it's all over the place, you got to tap into that and say, no, that really goes over there, you know? And then they don't realize that they're just, you know, muttering, and, you know, and pieces don't belong there, and you have to move it around. So it actually takes a little bit of that psychology to know, oh, no, that's not what went on. That's not what went on. No Judge Judy there. No, that's not what went on. That's not the truth.
Absolutely. You know?
So what is on the horizon for you right now?
Oh, gosh. So, well, I'm working on a book with a colleague on how to write, publish, and profit from your book well, and that will be coming out sometime this summer or fall. Okay. I'm going to be working on my next memoir. So I have one memoir out already called Dear Universe, I Get It Now. That one's already available for sale. But yeah, just a lot of writing. I've got client project writing and new writing for myself. And so just really excited okay. about that. Yeah.
Awesome. So how can we all find you? The audience would love to find you. And audience, in case you want your memoir, you know, written, right? You need a coach to do that. This is the one to call, Alisa. How can we get in touch with you?
So best place is probably to come check out my website, and then you'll get all the links to the social places and the email list and all that jazz. So that's the rightplacerighttime.com. The first right is WRITE, and the second right is RIGHT. So the rightplacerighttime.com.
Wonderful. Well, Alisa, we were so happy to have you here, and we want to thank you for all the little gems that you've given us today. On bravery, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you for being here on Keeping It Real.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. And if you're looking for me, audience, you know where to find me, all around at EJW Coaching, right? And remember, always touch that subscribe button and hit the ding so you'll never miss a great episode like this one. My name is Edna White. I am your host of Keeping It Real. And me and my guest, Alisa, are saying bye for now.
Bye, everyone.
For 25 years, Brightview Senior Living Associates have been committed to creating a vibrant culture and delivering exceptional services, making Brightview a great place to work and live. If you're looking for a rewarding opportunity to serve your local community and grow, we want you to join our team. Brightview Senior Living is growing and actively seeking vibrant associates to join our community teams, including directors, healthcare, activities, hospitality, and dining. Apply today at careers.brightviewseniorliving.com.
Equal employment opportunities.
Text BV Jobs to 97211 to apply.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.